Broadcasting live from the San Diego Marriott Marquis and Marina, it's CEO Exclusive. Now here's your hosts, Mark Borelli and Soini Koch.
Hi there, this is CEO Exclusive Radio, and we're broadcasting from the Marriott Marquis in San Diego at the Vistas Executive Summit. I'm Mark Borelli, and with my co-host Soini Koch, and today we have Jennifer Miller with us from Access Destination Services. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
We're asking all of our guests to tell us, what is it you think CEOs and similar guests here need to know what's happening in your industry at the moment? What is the key things that they should know that's going on, and trends and industry facts?
Sure. Well, I think that there's a lot actually happening right now. In my industry, which is the meetings industry, we touch a lot of different market segments. So it's important for us to know what trends are not only happening in the meetings industry, but in the pharma industry, in the financial industry, in retail. We need to understand what's happening in our customers' world in order to better service them. So I think some of the trends that we see out there right now, some of the biggest ones have to do with consolidation. You just saw it actually, Marriott, you know, great company, just acquired Starwood, which, you know, you saw this in the airlines happen a while back, and now you're watching it happen in the hotel world. So there's, you know, when consolidation happens, there's, you know, it can be positive or it could be negative for the consumer. And in our world, how we consult our clients and how we go to market for them and bring the best rates to them in the hotel side of it, that's changing and evolving right now. So consolidation for us is probably one of the biggest trends that we're seeing in our industry.
And consolidation in just hospitality, or consolidation in other industries as well?
So I would say consolidation in other industries as well. We see it, pharma companies, that, you know, that happens regularly in the pharma world. There's a lot of startup pharma companies. And so when, you know, a larger pharma company comes in and acquires a smaller company, once it gets all of its accreditations and approval and they're ready to take their drug to market, they're typically picked up by a larger life science or pharma company. So we watch that happen a lot. But in terms of happening across, you know, across a lot of different market segments, I think that's something that we see quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And how does it affect you then, doing what you do in meetings?
So, it, you know, how it affects us in meetings is it provides less services or less options for some of our customers. They're able to, the negotiation maybe is different in the hotel world. The negotiations with the airlines can be a little bit different. They have a little bit less to play with. They can't use the two entities to compete against each other if they're now part of a single brand.
Mm. Does it make it tougher for you?
I don't know if it makes it tougher for us. I think it's really important right now. I think another trend is to really get outside of your own industry and really understand what's happening in the world and understand how that's affecting your customers. That's a key. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, in our industry, we have to know a little bit about what's happening across all of the different markets in order to best advise our customers.
And so what are some of the challenges that you're facing in your industry now? If consolidation is, you know, not necessarily a challenge, what are some of the other things that might be challenging you?
I think some of the challenges now in the meetings industry are marketing to different generations. You have meeting like this, for example, there's a lot of different generations that are here. And so how do you provide relevant content? I think the millennials are not looking for content. They're not looking to show up at a welcome reception for 300 people any longer and be told, there's your group, go network. They're looking for context. So content is out, and context is, I think, very relevant right now.
Just repeat that. So you said content is out, context?
Yeah, people are looking for context. They're looking for meaning. The newer generation wants meaning in their meetings. It's less important to have the golf outings or the larger centerpieces. They want to make a difference. They want to give back to their community. So there's a lot of opportunity. I don't know if I'd call it a challenge, but I'd say there's a lot of opportunity to understand what different attendees want from different meetings. And I think that's definitely evolving. And in 2008 and 9, just like, you know, in most businesses, our business suffered, but we had to look at how we did meetings, and we had to make them relevant, because a lot of our customers were getting, you know, they were being butchered in the media for having meetings. So we had to make them relevant, and we had to bring things into them that we hadn't seen before. Social responsibility became a big component for us, bringing in, you know, how do you punish Wells Fargo when they're going into a city and they're building bikes or they're building homes and they're making a difference in their community? So that's definitely become a part of what we do every day now.
So as you cater for these different age groups and different tastes, is that easier? Or the hotel, do you have to create that yourself, or do the hotels or the meeting event organizers help you with that?
Sure. So we typically will create the program for them. A program itinerary used to look very, you know, there was a lot more cookie cutter to it. Clients came in, and if it was a 3 to 5 day program, it looked like arrivals, a welcome reception, maybe some tours, some guest speakers.
A dinner.
So, you know, people are looking for something different. They want experiences. They want meaning. You know, I think millennials now are looking for something that they can experience on their own. And so we're challenged every day to create memorable experiences that they couldn't do if they came to any one of our destinations, whether it's San Diego or San Francisco or Las Vegas. They're looking for an experience that they couldn't do on their own.
And so give us an example of one of those.
Oh, gosh, there's a lot of examples, but I think probably the first one for me that comes to mind, for example, San Diego's a great place for meetings. It's a top-tier destination.
It's
great. It's fantastic. It's the second largest industry in San Diego is the hospitality industry. But if you came here, you probably couldn't take your family out to Miramar and rent a private hangar and tour with an officer and go into their jet and learn the stories that they've had. Maybe they just came back from a tour overseas. And that's something, those are experiences that we're able to create for our clients every day.
Wow. Things have changed a lot since I used to go to big meetings.
Yeah, I want to come to one of your meetings.
So how did you get into this business? What led you to decide to become an entrepreneur? And I mean, I'm assuming you were in the hospitality industry before, but
I was actually born and raised here in San Diego. I went to school at San Diego State and followed in the hospitality and tourism marketing program there. And I went to work initially for Bank of America, producing meetings for Bank of America, and went to work for Access Destination Services about 19 years ago. I became a partner about 10 years ago, and I love doing what I do.
Yeah. And so how do you juggle being a mom and being president and leading Access?
How do I juggle it? Well, not well at times. How I juggle is I look at what's a priority now. I look at what's important right now. I try to align what my values are to make sure that, you know, my children are always safe and they're happy and healthy and thriving. And I try to do the same thing with my business. I work with about 55, you know, different team members. And so making sure that they're thriving and growing and that our business is thriving and growing is important to me. But I think being excited and being optimistic about what I do every day helps me create that same experience with my children and with my team members.
So we talked a bit about the industry. What are the challenges that face you as a firm as you grow and continue your growth path?
We've grown actually quite a bit. We, in the last 10 years, we went from one team to 5 different offices in 3 different states. So we've experienced rapid growth over the last 10 years. And one of the biggest challenges we face is how do you keep that, how do you change your processes to that allow you to grow from being a $5 million company to a $15 million company to a $30 million company in such a short period of time. We're trying to always look at our processes. We try to not look at what we did 10 years ago and feel like it's relevant today. So we're constantly evaluating our model. We do a lot of education. We attend a lot of sessions, a lot of meetings ourselves. We look at technology quite a bit. Technology is evolving consistently in our industry. You have to provide information faster and in a more timely manner. It has to be more accurate than it's ever been. And so technology is a key component for us in making sure that we're on the cutting edge of what we're doing.
And so the theme for today at the Executive Summit is Bold Leadership. So what is your philosophy around leadership and training and developing your people?
I don't know if I have a formal philosophy. I grew up in the business. I try to always put myself in their shoes. I try to be an empathetic leader. I try to be a patient leader. I try to push people when I think they can be pushed a little bit further. I try to bring out the best in people, but I try to put them before myself at all times. Mm-hmm. That, to me, I think is what a leader is. We changed our model from being a management team to being a leadership team quite a bit back, and we shifted our whole philosophy. We defined what our leadership team is, and we defined it to the company. So we over-communicate, I think, at times. But I think we're working with a generation. I work with a lot of team members who come straight out of college, so this might be their first or second job right out of college.
God bless you.
But my philosophy is I want to teach them how to do it the right way. I want to teach them that there's an honest and respectful way to do what they do, and I want them to do it with integrity, and I want them to follow our corporate values to a T. And that's the expectation when you come into our business. We try to set a no-drama policy. It's very clear. But I want to teach them that women can support women, because we're about 95% women also. So I want to teach them that we can support each other. And we're so much stronger and better when we're doing things together. So I don't know if I have a single philosophy, but I think collectiveness is important for us.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your afternoon to be on CEO Exclusive Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.